You're listening to The Drive Home with Casey and Blair. Welcome to The Drive Home with Casey and Blair, where we give our unfiltered first impressions of the films we just watched at the movies and record our discussion on The Drive Home. Opinions change over time, and working in the film industry, none of these critiques are meant to be personal, but rather a reaction. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, that was a long, well, yeah, we left at 1, and now we're coming back at 5. It's a long movie, and there was a lot of previews, and we got duplicate previews.
I know.
Which was maddening in some way, but oh well, what can you do? Basically see Jurassic World, the preview, and see everything about the movie in the entire preview. I hate when they do that.
Are you taping this?
Yeah, okay. We're recording now.
Okay.
Just a pet peeve of mine, because it's like, why show us the entire... It's almost like, well, I know the exact problem. It's, well, hey. They end up hiring different trailer companies to do the trailers for the movies. So they don't care about spoiling anything. And the people who make them don't have really much say in it. Maybe that's the case. Who knows? But anyway. So today is the 29th of April. And this is The Drive Home with Casey and Blair's dad, Bill. another historical Beihauer, who you may have remembered from one of the last times we were in New Mexico. And we being Blair, Augie, and I, came to visit him and happened to happen on the weekend of The Avengers, which means that we needed to go see The Avengers, which is what we did. And so this is The Drive Home, where we talk about it. And we have a long way home, so I waited for the car to start this.
Do you want to do this as part one and part two and stop and
get
something to drink or eat?
We'll figure it out as we go. I don't want to leave Blair for too much longer, but we'll figure it out. If you want to stop to get something to eat, I can pause this and pick it up later. Yeah, not a big deal.
Should we call Blair and see how they're doing?
That is an option. We could do that. I guess we could do it while on the phone. Do you have one?
Yeah, I'm on the phone.
Yep. All right. So this will be
Blair Whalen.
All right. Well, I don't think.
Tell Siri to call Blair Whalen.
Call Blair Whalen.
Probably it's not your voice.
Yeah, maybe.
Call Blair Whalen.
Good old Siri.
Who are you calling?
Blair Whalen.
Blair Whalen. Oh, technology.
Where I am. Oh, God. I think it's too hot.
Just... Oh, does it say too hot?
No. Siri, call Blair Whalen.
Just unlock your phone. I'll call her manually.
Doesn't want to do.
No. It rarely ever works for me.
There's phones.
Okay. I can navigate from here. Let's see here. Oh, it's under W. Duh. Yeah, the phone is kind of acting a little weird.
I got a little too hot.
Yeah, I think so. All right, we'll just scroll down. I'll figure it out. All right, Blair Whalen. Pre-do. Mobile. Daughter. That's how it's listed in here.
Oh, it's listed in daughter?
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I just put it there. So we are going to get Blair on the drive home, I guess.
Well, if you want to have her participate.
She won't be able to participate. She didn't see the movie.
She didn't see the movie, I know.
She's not the biggest fan of the comic book movies. Maybe she took a nap.
Yeah. She might have her phone up.
Yeah, or not next to her.
Okay, well, she's not picking up. She knows it's up.
Hi, you've reached Blair.
Yep.
Okay. So be it.
So be it. All right, well, we tried.
Okay, so our opportunity to get something is like right here, right
now. Oh, she's calling. There she is.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. We're,
Hi.
How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Well, the movie just got out. It was a long movie.
Cool.
So, is the baby sleeping or what's going on?
Yeah, he's sleeping.
Oh, okay. So, I guess we'll just head straight home then.
Okay.
Because we're probably going to all eat together, right?
Sure.
Okay. We're just checking because we're doing the drive home and I didn't know if... Just wanted to make sure you're okay and figure out what we wanted to do, that's all.
Yeah, we're fine. You guys do whatever. I mean, I've just been hanging.
Okay.
Baby's good, I'm good, we're fine.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we'll just come home and we'll figure it out, okay?
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right, so now 5 minutes in, we can start talking about the movie. I'll just probably cut that later.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal. So we just saw The Avengers, The Infinity War Part 1. And there's some things I'm surprised about, some things I'm not. Marvel, it's interesting because I think they're saving any traumatic deaths for the next one, to be honest, because it seems like they, well, spoilers, obviously, they start out with one, and they actually take a firm stand in the sand, and they actually kill two characters in this one, which I think is interesting, but that's the thing about the Infinity gems that are in part of this gauntlet, is that there's no consequences to anything. Because they can just snap their fingers and go back to a time before anything happened. So that's one of the things about the Infinity War that I'm not a huge fan of. Because it's too powerful in some ways. It's like you can manipulate time, space, everything. All right, fine. Just... All right. Well, that's why it's as big a mountain as they make it in the film. But I don't know. I feel... whenever you bring in that time function, it's one of the reasons probably why I didn't like Doctor Strange as much, is because it's not as grounded in reality. I mean, a lot of the time of the film, you're seeing it is 90% CG. They're on different worlds and different galaxies, starting up different things. I mean, the CG teams alone are just a mile long. So basically, almost all the actors, it feels like, are... only in green screens. But they do have some ground battles. I think that's why they balance it out with the Wakanda battle and everything else. But there's a real high edge of artificiality in this that comes with it. And I don't know if any of them are going to have lasting consequences. It seems like everyone's going to have a way out. Even though they sort of vaporized half of their characters. So, yeah. What were your thoughts, Bill?
I believe that too. I think the main character is all too powerful, and if you can manipulate everything, then how could you possibly defeat something like that? There's no logical way.
Yeah, and Doctor Strange does allude to the thing where it's I'm playing the end game now instead of the short game. There's only that he saw only one possible way out of this, and he said he would never sacrifice. He would never ask anybody to sacrifice their life for the stone, which makes me think that it's in some ways true, but he saw one potential outcome, but he couldn't tell anybody else that outcome. So most likely in the end, he's going to tell Tony Stark, like, bah, 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 I knew you could do it the whole time. So, because that's one of the things that there's a catch in this, and people are like, oh, well, you can just rewind the clock with the time gem. Well, the only person that could really do that was Doctor Strange, and so, I don't know, is his apprentice still around? Probably. But still, it's very open-ended. Some other things. Yeah, so I really don't enjoy watching superheroes, heads on CG bodies the entire time. That got kind of old.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at Tony Stark, and I swear I see his head bobbing up and down. And honestly, weirdly enough, I don't know if it was because... of the print or what they did here, but there's a lot of scenes where the faces were really skinny. Like, the aspect ratio got crunched considerably. I don't know if it's because they shot it all in IMAX, that when you see it on a smaller screen, that they just kind of like go, okay, well, we're just going to screw the aspect ratio and call it a day. Because, like, in the very first scene, Loki is like,
Like, his face is tiny. But anyway. Yeah, so they vaporize everybody at the end. Most everybody, anyway.
Yeah, and we're supposed to... soundtrack wasn't bad.
Yeah, soundtrack is very Avengers-like. I felt like they could have actually gone a little further with destroying their universe to better... I mean, it's hard to say, but, like, it feels like so much of what they did is reversible. I mean, yes, they got rid of Vision and Gamora and, who else did they get rid of? Loki, all before a certain time, but for the most part, it's very, like, okay, these are ancillary characters, and when there's so many characters on the screen from so many different universes in Marvel, you're almost like, meh. Yeah, I care a little. Like, and I like the fact that they make fun of their own storylines of, like, oh, yeah, I had to kill my father. I had to kill my brother. I had to kill my sister. It's like, yeah, all their storylines, when you put them back-to-back like that, they just don't make a hell of a lot of good sense. Like, they're just ranting on and trailing on of these really weird storylines of blah. They make sense in their own movies, but, like, standing side-by-side, they're kind of ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous... good old Game of Thrones, Peter... Oh, why am I drawing a blank? Peter...
Yeah.
I feel horrible that I can't remember his name right now. Oh, I'm horrible with names.
Is that the Thor character?
No, it's the one that's, it's Tyrion. Peter...
With a gun?
No, it was the dwarf.
Oh,
the literal, he plays a dwarf in this universe too.
Yeah, he plays a dwarf in everything.
With his hands tied, and yeah, it's it is interesting to see him play an enlarged dwarf that's just the scale is whack. And I don't know. I thought the brooding voice that he made was just ridiculous. It just felt wacky. A lot of the time in this movie, it felt there are a lot of very wacky moments where it's like, okay, we're definitely watching something that's on the outer stretches of comic books, not so much grounded in reality. Like, you take a look at the roots of where Marvel started, and they've gone a really far, far distance from that original concept. Like, Iron Man was, how do you take a man and make him a superhero under the right conditions? And that's what they did. They grounded it in our reality with terrorism and things like that. But in the long run, now we have Tony Stark with crazy nanotechnology suits that, like, absorb over his body, which, you know, I get it. I understand how that's appealing. And a lot of the time they do these technology jumps just so you can see the characters' faces instead of seeing just masks. So they'll do this, like, we can do half a mask and have it come down. Same with Black Panther, same with Spider-Man, all these digital masks, so you can get connected with the characters' faces as they go through the quandaries that they do. So, I don't know. I kept on drawing attention to the mechanics of it rather than the actual storytelling of it. But I will say the one character that I enjoyed out of the entire thing was Thanos. I liked him. He's one of my favorite characters in the comics, and he did just as well on this one. I was impressed with where they took it, and they actually made a villain for the first time have some motivation outside of himself, which I thought was great. I mean, very seldomly do they ever seem to make a villain that actually is decent, and I thought they did a good job with that. So kudos to Brolin, who not only is going to be playing Cable, but also playing Thanos. So he's two characters in the Marvel Universe now. What else we got? What else happened in the movie, Bill?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. I mean, it was good. I didn't know it was part one or part two, so that kind of threw me, having the sudden ending and everything just kind of being left up in the air.
Like stop point.
But you can pretty much guess what's going to happen, at least at the beginning of the next movie.
Which, by the way, that symbol that came up on Shield's faces, Nick Fury's communicator device was to Captain Marvel, which is, I believe, in this universe, the female Captain Marvel, which is going to be played by What's-Her-Name, which is going to be introduced in the next Avengers film, apparently. Sometimes it's a little exhausting when you watch superhero movies and their solution to solving more problems is to add another superhero to do this, to solve this problem. I don't know, after a while it just gets a little daunting. But anyway, we're here at the gas station. We're going to do a little pit stop here, and I'll pick this up afterwards after I gather some more thoughts and kind of go from there. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Pause. So, yeah, this is one of the reasons why I love going to Love's and getting their beef jerky. Because it's the last kind that's like this. You can't really buy this kind in the stores anymore. It's all... A lot of the beef jerky is really, like, poor quality meat now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's pretty good. Well, I'll probably have to stop it while I'm talking, but I'll do that in a minute. Because I thought of some other things that really drove me nuts about that movie.
What they didn't eat or drink.
Okay. That's another thing. Every planet apparently has oxygen.
Yeah.
To the right degrees and amounts that's needed for human sustainment and life. I'm just going to say it. I understand that we're watching a superhero movie, but... Dear me.
Yeah, the problem is they've run out of storylines. And now everything is so invincible and habitable, it all turns gelatinous. It all turns the same. So
yeah. Well, yeah. That was the part where it kind of drove me nuts a little, because the entire movie has so many characters in it from so many different franchises that some of them just don't blend well together. They don't. They come from various styles of movies and backgrounds, and they kind of throw them together. And some of it works, some of it doesn't. Like, the Quill stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when would they have? They are within seconds of getting the gauntlet away from Thanos. And some hot-headed Star-Lord decides to go crazy and ruin everything. Like, that's the kind of stuff that drives me nuts. It's not that you were not strong enough physically. You weren't strong enough mentally to take care of the problem that it was there. And for dumb reasons, like, oh, let's try and take short-term revenge against him versus long-term. It's not like he didn't see previously what this Infinity Gauntlet will do. It's like, oh, let me start hitting you in the middle of our plan. And what drives me crazy is the very earliest scene in this film, he's bad-mouthing everybody else who's not following the plan. And what does he do? He doesn't follow the plan. The plot befalls stupid choices on stupid character things. And by the way, I hate his mustache. And yes, he does look fat. But anyway. Yeah, so that whole, the Gamora love story between her and Quill. Sure, I get it. And between the sisters, you know, it's all well and good. Is it warranted enough to, like, interrupt that plan? No. Because, oh, you get the gauntlet away and you can actually do something afterwards. And then you can exact your revenge. Don't do it in the middle like an idiot. Duh.
Well, what did you hear that was so great about this movie?
Well, no. A lot of people like it. I mean, it's getting great reviews, I think. I haven't really looked. I will look after this. Because I've been avoiding it completely. Like, I only saw one trailer. I was avoiding everything. I got... The Loki thing in the beginning was spoiled for me, which kind of pissed me off. And then two other things came out, but then it was like, oh, okay. Yeah. It wasn't as big a spoiler as I thought, because, well, I'll just say it. Somebody told me that Spider-Man and who else? Groot are turned to ash. And I was like, oh, they're going to get incinerated by Thanos or something. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But then at the end, I'm like, oh, okay, so they didn't actually make the sacrifice. They just did it, and they're going to reverse it later on. But
they just made him disappear.
Yeah.
Into thin air.
Yeah, and I also, it's like we have this veil of screwed up priorities of us as a human race that we aren't willing to make the sacrifices we needed to make to survive, which I believe maybe is the theme of the entire story, and we'll see that come about in part two. So I can't judge that arc prematurely, because it's probably all about sacrifice. I mean, Thanos is talking about what did it cost you? It cost me everything.
Yeah.
And then shows him at the farm at the end, which, by the way, the farm was a huge cool thing for me, because that was at the end of the Infinity War originally with Adam Warlock. But I wonder if they're going to bring Adam Warlock into this, but then it'd be like one of those, like, oh, we're just gonna bring another character in to solve our problems, which it looks like they're doing at the end of this one. Or they activate it and it's just that's just the thing for her movie. Maybe she won't be in the Avengers next part.
A superhero dog.
There is one.
There is one.
The, like, was it Cosmos, the space dog, or something like that?
Oh, okay.
I mean, they have a raccoon. Is that close enough?
A raccoon. I don't know. I always think that they would have a dog kind of. They would have the ability to put armor around him, or, you know,
Iron Dog.
Iron Dog.
Who knows? Keep this universe going, and that's exactly what's going to happen, probably.
Iron Hot Dog.
Okay, so another like sacrifice that we weren't willing to make to prevent Thanos from killing half of the population is. When Scarlet Witch falls in love with a machine that is sentient, sure, all well and good, but he's not even human, therefore it's not even like the sacrifice for the species thing, so that arc is kind of weirdly gone. It's just a mechanical man, and then it's too late because he has the Time Stone, which if they would have destroyed it before he got the Time Stone, he wouldn't be able to loop back, because it would be a loop back point that would prevent it. So the stupidity of the characters again gives him more power. Yay. And also something that I noticed was all the female characters fought female villains, and all the male characters fought male villains. Are we that afraid of like having male and females fight anymore? I mean, it felt very, I don't know, when I saw that, I was like, okay, I get this, and I like how you're doing a balance of equality in some regards, but wouldn't the real true emphasis of equality be that it doesn't matter? But I don't know, maybe there's some sort of international thing that they're trying to do there to keep it safe. Because this is a global movie that they want to make a lot of money with, so maybe they're going by the book in terms of all these little, small, quirky things so that they don't offend anybody. Which never makes a really strong story choice. What else did you like or dislike about it?
How is it that you can get extremely beat up as a superhero and not show any signs of wear afterwards?
Yeah, the invincibility factor in this one was very, very large. Like, I swear, I'm hearing.
When he's pulling the spaceship around. Who is it?
Yeah, Thor. Thor was immune to everything. He got his eyeball back, which I didn't even think was even necessary. Why? Leave the battle scars there. It makes you feel like your characters are vulnerable.
Yeah.
And they took it away because they didn't want to have him wear an eye patch for too long. I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to take away from his physical appearance, which...
Most likely.
It's the most likely scenario.
Yeah.
What else? The mindless hordes of CG characters that they fight again.
Yeah, that was kind of senseless.
Yeah. Like, I complained about it in Age of Ultron, where they just fought against robots. And I was like, well, maybe we need something organic. And they fought against mindless, nothingness aliens that just wanted to, like, unleash a horde onto them. And it's like, why? What's at stake with this battle anyway? They're just sending lambs to slaughter, which they just have come out of nowhere. I don't know. I liked it better in the first one when they actually seemed like these were soldiers in an army. These weren't soldiers. These were just like the dogs that they threw to the wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of little things I'm like, why did they do this, this, and this? What are some things you liked?
I thought the spacing of the introduction of the characters was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
They didn't throw them all on screen at one time. They all kind of got in contact with one another through one another, right?
Yeah, they did a pretty decent job of making it multi-stage, like bringing new people in and things like that. Giving them an organic entrance. Because it's a big universe, you know, you got to get around. Yeah. It's interesting that Thor has an axe now instead of a hammer. Should have gone for the head. That was an interesting line, but it's like, yeah, you know, that makes sense. That's pretty much the epitome of Marvel, is go for the chest and not actually, like, the kill. Like, when they're standing over the aliens, and they were like, nah, we're gonna let you live.
Yeah.
If they would have killed them, they would have prevented the entire invasion of Wakanda, and they would have prevented them from actually getting the Soul Stone. So the fact that they're like, you're not gonna get a chance at this again, they did get a chance at it again. They took them out, but it didn't matter at that point. Wow. Washing your windows wasn't really...
that's because of the bugs. It's just so they don't stick so much.
Yeah, it's an ongoing battle, I can imagine. So many bugs sitting out here. Let's see. Things that I liked. Okay, another big problem that I had was... I love when they do the stereotypical, let's have a conversation in a completely hollow, empty ship at really high volume above the character that we're about to jump. That just was like, yay! That to me is just like, okay, why couldn't you have this conversation in a chamber away from it, behind glass, something to prevent sound, because it just makes it seem like it's a really stupid mistake on the villain's part. But
I think what makes one of these movies really good is if you introduce humanity and you have a limit to people's powers.
Yeah.
And if you have those two elements, I think it's a lot more entertaining, like the original Iron Man and some of the others where they're just fighting something that is defeatable and not can just blast in the stars and blast back on a whim.
Well, that's one of the things, is like you can... They tried to do it. What they did it with the Hulk, by trying to cripple him by not making him be able to turn into the Hulk. So that worked out. But then they did it with Thor as well by not giving him a hammer. And let's see, who else did they do that with? Cripple them. They didn't do it with Spider-Man. They didn't do it with Doctor Strange. They didn't do it with... I'm trying to think of who anybody else crippled. I don't think they did. Everyone else was at full strength. I thought it was interesting that Captain America did not get back a round shield, but maybe they haven't created it yet. Because they're going to have to now. He'll probably get it back for the second one. But it was... I don't know, just... It didn't seem like they spent very much time on any one character, and it's kind of was spread out, which is fine. You know, I get it. In a lot of ways, they actually gave Thanos a lot of screen time for his own personal arc, which I thought was good. But then it's like, I don't know. It's just too many characters. It's just so many. It's like, how do you cram them all in there to give them all actual motivations and arcs and things? And that's where you get a whole bunch of those, like, oh, we love him, and now we want to save him for the cost of the universe. But I did not expect Red Skull to be there. That was kind of interesting. I think he's going to be let out by the time this is over.
Will the Deadpool guy show up?
No. Nah, he won't. Matter of fact, because the reason why he won't show up is because I think they directly reference the fact that Josh Brolin plays Thanos and Cable in his own movie. So, I don't know. Deadpool is a lot more grounded in reality, if I feel like, so we'll see how that one goes. I think that's, it's got the right edge for the right balance for those sorts of things. But, I mean, I like Marvel movies, and I enjoyed this one for the most part. I still...
They made the slur about the DC Comics.
Yep. They did make the... Well, that was the Deadpool movie that did that in the preview. Which they can do, because it's Deadpool. Apparently, one of the things about Deadpool is that he is... what was it? He's in all the universes or something like that? It's something crazy along those lines, where he's in every universe in some capacity. There's some storyline about it. I gotta remember what direction I was going with that, but it's one of those storylines that somebody made where it's like Deadpool destroys the universe or something like that. But, okay, what else? I like that they had the Hulk is actually in hiding because it doesn't want to come out. It's afraid of Thanos. Which I thought was pretty cool. I like that portion of it. What else? Going through the love scene, the Gamora and Thanos thing, that's all fine, well, and good. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got. I'm bleeding a turn of dry here, but
we had an overall review of it.
Yeah.
A lot of spoilers though.
Oh, they're always filled with spoilers. Let's see what happens in the next one. I don't know if I've had many predictions. I'm probably gonna end up seeing it again and getting Jeremy's take on it because I think we need some comic book dictionary to come to come talk to us a little bit. So it's I don't know, we'll see, because Thanos looks like he kind of destroyed the gauntlet. Yeah. Like, it looks like the gauntlet is destroyed. Which, by the way, kind of, I felt like there was a big hole in the universe with one of the jokes that they made, because they showed the gauntlet in the Asgardian, what do you call it? The Asgardian... war room where they kept all the weapons, and they were like, oh, fake. They did that in the last Thor Ragnarok, which was alright, that makes sense. But then they had the Peter Dinklage, that's his name, Peter Dinklage's character, basically say that he forged a gauntlet. So I'm like, alright, those are two completely different notions, so there's kind of a hole. What else? So I don't know. Maybe they'll make another gauntlet and put the stones back in it. Looks like they had other prototypes. So obviously they're going to have to find a way to turn back time to get these other characters back, because they're not going to, because that's the funny thing about watching these movies, is when they kill off certain characters that have franchises, you know for a fact that they won't do it because those franchises are worth so many millions and millions of dollars. Billions, even, if you look at it that way. Like killing off Spider-Man. He's not gone. He'll be back. He was the sympathetic death at the end. Because they're not going to kill off all these franchises. It would be asinine. Probably the next movie is we might get other Avengers. I'm curious to see if we get Wasp and Ant-Man in the next one. Because they were left out of this one. On top of, there's another character that they sort of put into hiding, so to speak. That they might come out for the next one, but then it's just more characters crammed in there. So, I don't know. I got movie overload a little bit. So we'll see how this progresses and go from there. So this is, I guess this will be my first review for the event. This is my part one of my Avengers part one of Infinity Wars review. So I'll see you again next time, probably with Jeremy to talk more about all this stuff. So. This is a goodbye from Casey
and Bill.
Y'all take care.